Wolverine. Well, look, I look around and I could see all of the blessing now is given me. And I see my family, look at your family, all doing fine. He gave me peace of mind. Oh, thank God for another blessing. Thank God for another blessing. You ought to thank him. Come on and thank him. Come on and thank the Lord. Hey, yeah. I realize I could have been there, yeah. Somewhere sleeping alone. This is what he did. He kept it on the door, wrapped around me. He never left me. He never left me. He's been good to me. Lord, been mighty good to me. Anybody know he's been good? Let me see you wave your hand. Ooh-wee, another blessing. He's been a roof up over my head. He's been a doctor on my sick bed. When I was lonely, Lord would be my friend. When I didn't have food, he made a way. Anybody here ever been in trouble and you didn't know what to do? But finally you thought about how your car you serve and you begin to call on. I want to ask you one thing. When you got up off your knee, didn't he answer?
Yes, he did.
Didn't he answer?
Oh, yes, he did.
Anybody know he will?
Yes, he will.
Oh, yes, he will. Late in the midnight hour, he made a way. Early in the morning, oh, yes, he did. God bless you. God bless you. That's it. Go ahead and give him some praise. If you know he worked it out for you, if you know the devil couldn't stop you. Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo. Look at somebody, tell him. Woo-hoo-hoo. We, yeah.
You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word. Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
Hallelujah. Listen, praying in other tongues. I know that people don't believe in it, but I'm going to tell you what I believe in, and I believe in it with all my heart. Amen. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost and be filled with the Spirit so you can pray in other tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? But unto God, for no man understandeth him. However, in the Spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries or divine truths or hidden secrets." So there's things about my future that are hidden, that are a mystery. Right? Anybody know what they're going to be doing 5 years from now? Anybody know what they're going to be doing next week? You might have a schedule out what you plan on doing, but you don't know how all that's going to come out right now. You're just planning. You know, you're making preparation. You might have scheduled a trip or a vacation or got something even planned next year sometime. But it's a mystery to you how all that's going to come out. But when you pray in other tongues, those mysteries about your life and about your family and about your destiny will be revealed to you. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Hallelujah. I was praying in tongues one morning, and the Lord said, "You just entered your last year at International Paper." I knew I had another year. That was it. Then he spoke another word to me, new source of income. I didn't know what all that meant. That was all a mystery to me when I heard it, but I kept on praying. He said, "You're going to reap from the fields from which you've sown." Then he told me where my harvest was coming from. I got all that in prayer. Amen. I've learned things about my family in prayer. How to deal with situations in prayer. What to do and what not to do in prayer. Amen. Praying in other tongues will cause those mysteries to come forth in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he may interpret." So you can interpret those prayers, what you speak, those mysteries that you speak to the Lord. I remember it was about 2 years ago. The Lord said, "I want you to ask me to reveal to you the mysteries that you're speaking to me in the Spirit." I said, "Okay, Lord, begin to reveal the mysteries to me. Show me what I'm praying in tongues." And then things start opening up, and I start seeing beyond tomorrow. Hallelujah. And sometimes we lose our steam, but you should never lose your steam. I mean, you got to stay with it. Sometimes you can pray in tongues for a long time and seem like nothing happened, but you just stick with it because you're praying out those mysteries. You're praying sometimes 6 months in advance. I mean, one time me and Cece consecrated ourselves just to pray 30 minutes every day together during my lunch period. I'd call at the beginning and we would say a prayer together, and I'd say, "Okay, let's spend the next 15 or 20 minutes, you pray in the Holy Ghost at home," and I'd go pray 15 or 20 minutes till my lunch break was over. Amen. On the 20-something day of that month, I had a personal holiday, and we were getting ready to go take care of some business. It was about 2 or 3 minutes to 12, and I said, "You know what? We made a commitment to God that we would give him this month." I said, "We don't need to leave. Let's go back. Let's pray from 12 to 12:30 like we've been doing every day." And we sat down in the den and just prayed in the Holy Ghost for about 20 minutes. Didn't seem like nothing happened. We just praying in tongues. And then we got quiet. And we sat in God's presence. And God began to reveal to me mysteries about our future. Amen. Amen. He told me what he was getting ready to do in her life. And I told her. And what I told her didn't even seem like it was possible, did it? She say, "Boy, that sure gonna have to be God." She said, "I don't see how that's going to happen." I said, "Mark my word. Watch it come to pass." The Lord just told me this here. This is what he's getting ready to do in your life, and this is the door he's getting ready to open up for you. And sure enough, it happened. And when the door opened, we didn't even have to pray about it. I mean, we prayed about it out of courtesy. When the opportunity came, we told people, say, well, you know, we'll pray about it. And when they walked out, boy, I'm going to tell you, we were just jumping. Say, we already got this one. Glory to God. What I told you. There ain't nothing like joy that come from answered prayer. You see, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you, that your joy may be full. People walk around sad and depressed because they ain't getting no answers to their prayer. Because Satan has robbed them of one of the greatest blessings in life. And it is your prayer life and your time that you spend communicating with your Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you have to make prayer a priority, or you will be deceived and seduced away from the word of God and the will of God for your life if you don't pray. It's guaranteed. If you don't pray, you're going to be deceived. You're going to think you should be doing this when God planned for you to be doing that. And you'll go through your life doing what feel good, doing what seem right. See, the Bible said there is a way that seems right. Who give you that way? God not giving you a way that seem right. So there must be somebody else giving you a way that seem like it's right. In fact, the Bible say every man's way is right in his own eyes. So if you don't talk to God, then you're basically deceiving yourself. You got to make a commitment to pray. Private prayer, just you and God, and you need to have a corporate prayer life. Some of y'all don't know what corporate prayer is. It's foreign to you. You're part of a church, have prayer, corporate prayer. You can't make one Saturday out of a month. What about your corporate prayer life? They pray together in the Bible. That's the pattern I see in the Bible. You know, Peter and John, when they had a miracle of healing, it was at the hour of prayer. They was going to the temple. They didn't all just have individual prayer life. They prayed together. You read Acts chapter 4. You read most of the promises concerning prayer have more to do with corporate prayer than individual prayer. This is the confidence that we, not I, that we have in him, that if we, not I, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, not me. I'm not telling you anything that's wrong. I'm not telling you anything that's wrong. You can get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you like it is. Because you can go home and say, well, I ain't got to do that. That ain't important. See, it's not important to you. That tell me right there you're already deceived because you done bought that lie that corporate prayer ain't important. I don't have to commit to that. But I done told you. If you want to be fully equipped, because that stuff happening in corporate prayer, it's not going to happen nowhere else. See, God designed for his people to get together. Not just to hear the word, but there's times you had to come together just to pray together. You come together sometimes just to praise together. But I'm going to tell you, there's individual prayer and there's corporate prayer. When Jesus went to the garden, he didn't go by himself. I mean, you know he could have prayed by himself. Yeah. What did he do? He took him with me and said, let's go yonder and let's pray. Mm-hmm. When we have corporate prayer, that's all of us meeting together with him. Amen. To pray. Amen. I believe God have a great assignment for this church. Yeah. And a part of that assignment is prayer. It's one of our pillars. But if you don't even catch the vision of prayer, if you don't even catch that, if you don't even think prayers are important enough, then you're really not connected to the vision like you think you are. You're playing. You wonder why you ain't got enough time to do all the stuff you want to do? Why you running yourself in the ground trying to get it done, and you're running off human strength.
That's right. Amen.
That's That's why you wore out and tired all the time. There's a supernatural strength. You can come here tired and feel like you can't put one step in front of the other. And get in the presence of God and get a second wind, it seems. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I just want to know. All right, let's go to the next one here. Prayer has to be a priority, or you will be deceived and seduced away from the will and word of God. It's guaranteed. If you don't pray, you're not going to be in the will of God. Not 100%. You're not going to be in his perfect will. You can't get there without praying. There's so many scriptures on prayer in the Bible. Everything that God's ever done in the earth, he did it through somebody praying. Or somebody that he could talk to. Hallelujah. When you don't study the word of God and pray daily, the risk of being deceived by the devil increases significantly. And you will more than likely embrace moral values and worldly mindsets that don't honor God. That's what's going to happen to you. If you don't make prayer a priority and you don't make the word a priority in your life, then you will drift off into worldliness. Worldliness is a spirit that corrupts and defiles our character, our judgment, and our morals. This spirit turns people away from the truth by making sin appear glamorous, attractive, appealing, prosperous, pleasurable, promising, powerful, satisfying, rational, and reasonable. That's what that spirit of this world will do to you. It'll make you rationalize and reason everything. And you will abandon the word of God and what it says, and you'll start making up your own laws and your own rules about how you're going to live. That's what will happen to you. 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. The Bible says we hadn't received the spirit of this world. I got the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of this world. But there is a spirit of this world. Satan is the god of this world, and there is a spirit of this world that can get in you. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world. That means don't be shaped by it, adapted to it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, that worldly spirit will lead you away from the will of God, where you can't distinguish or properly judge what's right or wrong. You have a lot of gray areas. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't see nothing wrong with that. It's dangerous to rationalize sin and say, it's not really that bad. It's not that bad that I lie a little bit, sleep around a little bit, shack up a little bit, cheat a little bit. Everybody's doing it. It's all right if I gamble a little bit, have a beer or two. There's a deception in alcohol. Read Proverbs. Well, beer or two ain't gonna matter. Where'd you get that from? All right, did you find that in the Bible? A couple of bills don't matter? Well, that's that in the Bible. See, you adopt mindsets that don't line up with the word. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter if I use my tithe to buy new furniture. God understands. See, you rationalize and reason everything out. Well, the Lord understand. Really? Amen. It means what he says. God doesn't care that I'm gay or lesbian or homosexual or cross-dresser. God don't matter. He loves everybody. Yeah, he does. I agree with you on that point. But I ain't never found where God loves sin. The Bible says about Jesus that he loved righteousness and he hates iniquity. He hates it. He hates sin. And if you live in a holy life, you'll hate sin too. But see, all these mindsets, see, this world got its own philosophy, its own financial system, its own way of doing things. The world has got all that going for it. Its own economy, its own entertainment. And you can get sucked into that. I'm going to tell you, the world is a broad road that leads to destruction. And you can agree with the world and find yourself an enemy of God. The Bible said, he that is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't want to be God's enemy. I don't want to be on the wrong side. I remember people on my job, they say, Greg, how the world treating you? And I said, oh, man, good. And one day the Holy Ghost convicted me. He said, the world's good to you, huh? Then them scriptures that I've been reading came back to me. He that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Love not the world. Because if you have the love of the world, then you don't have the love of the Father in you. And so I started changing that. And I said, you know, me and the world don't get along good at all. How the world treat you? Not good at all. The world ain't doing nothing for me. My blessing come from God. Look at Ephesians 5:3-6. Let me tell you this while you're turning. If you give a little bit of yourself to the world, then you can't give yourself wholly to God. God wants your whole heart, not a part of it. Ephesians 5:3-6. Now, these are mindsets and lifestyles and habits that people develop that are not godly, that people are deceived by these things here. And look what Paul said in Ephesians 5:3. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness. Everybody know what fornication is? Fornication is one word that covers all sexual sin and immorality. Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, that means greed. That means the love of this world, the love of money. Let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know. Now Paul's saying, now look, y'all supposed to know this. That no whoremonger, that's a male prostitute, nor unclean person, that's anybody involved in any type of sexual sin, nor covetous man, that's greed. That means that you have idols in your heart. That means that there's things in your heart that you put before God. That's what it means to be covetous, that you have a desire for things above your desire for God. Covetous. Nor covetous man who is an idolater, see, covetousness is going to lead you into idolatry, putting things before God. Have any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. He said, people that live these lifestyles don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Then he said this, let no man deceive you, lead you away from this truth. Let no man deceive you. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He said, these are the things that cause God's wrath to be poured out. I know we're under grace, but God still did, he still has, there's wrath. The wrath of God is still in the new covenant. It ain't all just grace. Thank God for grace. I want to be in the grace. I want to stay in the grace. But you can get on the wrathful side of God too. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Listen at this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, don't you know the unrighteous shall not inherit God's kingdom? All right, the unrighteous here, I believe, is unsaved people. How many of you know unsaved people are not going to inherit the kingdom? Right? I mean, if you don't believe in Jesus, he don't have any inheritance in the kingdom. He has forfeited his inheritance, even though Jesus died for him to have an inheritance. Right? But what does the next line say? Be not deceived. Now I believe you're talking to Christians. He said, we know that the unrighteous don't have any inheritance. He said, but don't you be fooled. Don't you be tricked. Don't you be led into error. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's men with women-like characteristics, homosexuals. Nor extortioners, that's con men. Liars, manipulators, moochers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, don't be deceived. These people ain't going to get it. People that embrace immoral lifestyles and worldly living, they're not going to inherit the kingdom either. And look at what the next verse says. And such were some of you. Which means you have changed. That you might have been one of them, but you're not that anymore. Amen. This is people that's been born again. I can find myself in that list. How many of you find yourself in the list? I found myself in the list, but I ain't that no more. See, I don't say, if I was an alcoholic before I got saved and got delivered from alcohol, I wouldn't keep calling myself an alcoholic. If I was a drug addict before I got saved and delivered from drugs, I wouldn't call myself a drug addict. Like the world will label you, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. They won't ever let you break the chains of your past. But it's not so in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God. That's a victory right there. Glory to God. I ain't a fornicator no more. Hallelujah. I'm not an idolater anymore. I had idols in my life. Yes. I had things I put before God all the time. I wasn't the person that prayed. I was in sin. But I ain't that no more, and neither are you. Amen. Everybody, tell your neighbor, say, I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified. In the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. 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 Now, if you want an example from the Bible of someone who allowed the spirit of this world to get on them, all you got to do is look at Samson. Let me just tell you a few things about Samson. This is in Judges 14 to 16. Samson had a covenant with God and had taken a Nazarite vow not to touch any unclean thing, nor to drink wine or strong drink, or to cut his hair. The Spirit of God moved mightily through him throughout his lifetime with manifestations of supernatural strength. He once killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Samson's first mistake was that he didn't heed the counsel of his parents and moved to a Philistine city, a type of the world. And he married a Philistine woman, meaning that he was unequally yoked. He threw a party, a feast before his wedding. And a feast, that word feast means food with drink. So he